Evans. You are invited to stay following the worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, located just behind me through these doors. If you're visiting with us for the first time and you don't mind raising your hand, please let us know you're here. And if you're here for your second or third time, thank you. If you're a newcomer here this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and hope that if this is your first time to visit, you'll consider entering your name on one of the visitor cards that can be found in the back of your hymnal and placing the card in the offering plate or handing it to an usher. If you do that, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about all the programs and activities going on here at the church. If you're visiting for the first time and have children with you, we want you to know that your children may certainly stay with you during the service, but we do have a professionally staffed nursery for infants and young children. If you would like to learn more about the church and about Unitarian Universalism, please visit the information displays in our fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you're certainly welcome to take home with you. I now invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know yet. Now is the time for announcements. If you have a short announcement for the good of the church, please come up to the microphone.
Hello, I'm Juliette Crone Willis, the acting religious education coordinator. And I have two pieces of information. The first is that next week, Easter Sunday, we are only having one service at 11 o'clock. And as part of the service, there is going to be an Easter egg hunt. So we are very excited about this. I, at least, am very excited. The following Sunday, the 27th, we're going to have a meeting about sort of the path that religious education is taking in this church and just kind of a roundtable conversation. So that'll be after second service. So I hope anybody who's interested can join us. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Sabrina. I want to invite everybody who, whether or not you've read the book, we're thinking of doing a book discussion on this book called Pastrix, which is the feminine gender of pastor, by Nadia Boltz Weber. And it's going to happen May 6th, 13th, 20th, and 27th from 7 till 9 p.m. over there outside in the Kate Worker Room. You don't need to have read the book. You don't need to like the book, you just need to come and discuss it. And it's been posted on Facebook. I'll do my best to facilitate a discussion. And so this is the sign-up sheet, and I'll be out there after service. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Sarah Lazars. As part of our social justice work, we're partnering with the other UU congregations in the area and a grassroots organization in St. Louis called M-Slice, and we're doing a project which is doing a cleanup in the north of Del Mar area. I'm not sure the exact location yet, but it's getting rid of vegetation in an empty lot, basically. So if you feel healthy enough and have a saw, even if you don't have a saw, if you feel healthy enough and you want to come help out, we need as many hands as we can have out there. It's going to be a family-friendly event with the activities for children. It's May 31st. It is a Saturday. Start time is yet to be determined. I'm assuming probably 8 in the morning, but I could be wrong about that. But May 31st, there's a sign-up sheet, more information about the M-Slice group on the desk over in the worker room, and you can come and talk to me, email me, call me if you want more information. So far, I'm the only one signed up from our church to go, so I need some more people, please. Okay, thanks.
Hi, my name is Mona Hebert. Now that we're getting nice spring weather and we're getting rid of the winter time, I know that all of you people are doing spring cleaning right now, and so you're getting rid of all those old shoes that don't fit you anymore, and your kids' shoes and everything else. So I'm collecting shoes for the Battle of the Boot for St. Louis University that we convert into water filtration systems. So if you have any shoes, boots, kids' shoes, whatever, that are wearable and don't have any holes in the soles, bring them in to me, and I'll bring them in to St. Louis University, and we'll beat Wash U for the third year in a row.
I was wondering if you had won last year, actually. Hi, I am Sharona. I am facilitating a unity circle after this service. We have maybe 7 or 8 folks who have already committed to be there this morning, but if anybody else would like to join, we have room for a few more. We'll be meeting 12:15 to 1:30 downstairs, and today our topic is Living Simply.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Kelly Crone Willis, the current Boyne president. And you're going to see a lot of me in the coming weeks. I'll probably have an announcement up here almost weekly. I've got 2 topics this morning, because one is finishing up an old topic, the pledge drive. So just to give everyone an update on where we stand on the pledge drive, fortunately right about now we're about $12,000 short of our lower goal, which was a lower budget. So what we need is, actually, we've got a few outstanding pledge cards still out there, so that gives us an opportunity to get a little bit closer. But what the board really needs, it needs those pledge cards to come back. Even if your pledge is going to be zero, that's fine, but we are in flux, kind of waiting to see what's going to happen, so we don't know if the cards are coming until they come back. So even if you have to do that, go ahead and send the cards in, because we need to finalize our budget and then get it in front of the congregation in May for our congregational meeting. And my second topic this morning is about our minister transition. So as you've all heard, Kleber will be departing us in June to go to Florida, take service at a new church. So the board has begun the process of finding a replacement, and we're working with the UUA right now. This week, I had 2 phone calls with different representatives from UUA. One is our regional congregational consultant, and one is the national transitions director, who is going to help us find a replacement minister. And also had some conversations this week, fireside. We had the fireside conversation with Kleber and the board, and we had some great suggestions from the members who showed up there about like what we should be looking for in the way of minister in the interim, and some that gave the board opportunity to explain to those people in detail how the interim process works. So after those conversations with those kind of 3 groups, the board has decided to go for an interim minister search, and that's a well-defined process out at UUA. But one of the steps in that is to identify a task force who's going to select or weed down the list of applicants and present those to the board for a vote. So that task force is going to be Debbie Lovell, Sabrina Trupia, and myself. So if you have any input for us anywhere along the way, you can get a hold of any one of the 3 of us, or any other board member will eventually get the word to us, but we're the direct folks that are working on this project. Because the schedule for doing that is so fast, it's a defined process that's like 10-day cycles, and we have to have paperwork back, and we have to talk to ministers, and all this is taking place before almost the first week of June. This is almost exclusively a board process, so there won't be a lot of surveys to the congregation, there won't be votes from the congregation. The board will end up picking an interim minister. But like I said, come see us. One of the ways you can come see us is we're going to have another fireside chat after second service today. So if you want to come out here and get some more information about how exactly the interim process works, that would be great. And then I'm also going to have Becky put some links in the this week emails there's a lot of information up on the UUA.org website about how the whole interim process works. And you can read the documentation, but there's also a short little video. It's not very long, like maybe 10 minutes. And there's interviews in that video with both churches and their board members who've gone through this process before, and interim ministers who are specifically trained to help churches through the interim process. So there's a lot of great information coming your way. Just pay attention, and I'm going to have more updates kind of weekly to let you know how we're doing.
All right, Kleber Van Zandt, minister of this church until June 30, as you just heard. If you have been considering membership in this church, want to sign the book today, I'll be down here on the front pew, and so will some board members to help you through that process. If you just have questions about that process, we can ask you, or you can ask us, and we'll see if we have answers. So if you would like to join the church or ask questions about it, just join us down here after this service. Then you can either go to Sharona's meeting or the fireside chat or get coffee and or whatever we have. This is Palm Sunday on the Christian calendar. That means this would be Palm Sunday. Next Sunday would be Easter. Next Sunday we will have a new member blessing at the service. In fact, we'll only have one service next Sunday at 11 o'clock. All the adult RE that happens will happen at 9:30. And the kids, all the children, will be with us at the service at 11. During that service, we will dedicate children. If you have a child you would like to be dedicated in this church, come see me and let me know that. Also, if you're somebody who has joined the church recently and has not been through the new member blessing process, Tom and Lola, others, see me and I'll let you know what that entails. I'm told it's not terribly painful. So we'll see. Also, this 11 o'clock service, if it's not storming like it was today, it'll be out here on the front lawn of the church. Sorry. Right out there on the front lawn of the church, not in the park. We've done that before. We'll do it out here and see what happens. You can see both the river, which may be important later for Dee's subject. You can see the river and the bridge, and we'll see what happens out there next week outside. There's also an Easter egg hunt for the kids that is sort of going to blend into the service, so maybe we'll all get to hunt some eggs. In between today and next Sunday, there is Thursday night. On the Christian calendar, that is Thursday is known as Maundy Thursday. We are going to have a tenebrae service, which is a service of shadows. The end of the Christian Holy Week is a pretty dark time, and we will sit in here and only have candlelight, and the candles will be put out slowly. We'll read from the Passion narratives. We'll say the names of people we know who have died recently. We'll also participate. You'll be invited to participate in a Unitarian Christian communion service. That's people who have been here for the last few years tell me it has been powerful in their lives. So see you Thursday night if you wish at 7:30.
Now is the time for gratitude and concern. I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any gratitude or celebrations you may bring with you to church this morning. And please notice that there will be time to share concerns and sorrows in a few moments.
Hi, I'm Kevin McCarthy. Our family is marking a milestone. Diane has just taken a position with the Consumer Financial Protection Board in Washington, D.C. as managing attorney of the Consumer Affairs Division. So our family will be moving to Washington, D.C. Diane will be moving in the beginning of June. In fact, today she's in Tacoma Park looking at houses. And the girls and I will be staying through part of the summer. coordinating the rest of the move and taking advantage of some camps and things like that that we've already signed up for, and joining Diane before the school year begins in September. It's a big move for our family. We're looking forward to it, but we are also very sad to be leaving this community.
Hi, my name is Honor Dimmick, and yesterday me and my sister went to a track meet with our track team. And I was in two races. I was in the hurdles race and we got third, and I was in the long distance medley and we got first in that, and our girls team got third in the schools.
Hi, my name is Allison Reichheld, and as some of you know, I'm a professor at SIUE, and one of the things we have to do to keep our job for more than 6 years is publish articles, and I just had one accepted, so I'm halfway to being ready to keep my job, so. Apparently he has something to say as well.
I have my third wiggly tooth.
You have a third wiggly tooth.
I figured out how to make an origami USS Enterprise from Star Trek.
I'm still willing to paint for anybody, but there's been no takers, thank you.
At this time, I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows or concerns that you bring with you to church this morning.
I'm Spiral. Over a year ago, a friend of mine that I met through my dad got a pretty awful cancer diagnosis. It wasn't known really how long he would have. They said maybe 6 months. And he's been able to make it over a year thanks to some experimental medicine. Lately he's been doing worse, and he just moved into home hospice care this past week. His name's Dave Black. Some of you may have met him and his family this last year. They came to the Day of the Dead celebration. This guy with a big white beard looks kind of like Santa Claus. He also did some readings at the coffee house last year. But he's a really good guy, and it's been really inspirational and interesting seeing what his response to this in his life has been. He has a couple teenage kids, and one of the responses from his friends in the last year, they decided to start regularly getting together with each other for epic coffee time like they used to some 15 or more years ago, and then they just kind of all quit doing it as they got married and had kids and got busy, and this motivated them to start doing it again, and it turned into this bigger thing where they, you know, started broadcasting this on the web and doing all kinds of ridiculous humor, a lot of gallows humor about cancer, and sharing this at some point on Facebook. I even got unfriended by somebody because how can you joke about cancer? I'm like, well, the guy with cancer is joking about it. And anyway, I just think it was a good way to get the point across about it, but I'm thinking about him a lot now and hoping that this hospice experience is good for him and his family.
May the gratitude and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all, and may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all of our hearts. A burden shared becomes a load lightened. The prelude begins our worship service as Mary McKeever lights our chalice. At this time, our call to worship, number 418. Come into the circle of love and justice. Come into the community of mercy, holiness, and health. Come, and you shall know peace and joy. Let us worship together. Our first hymn will be projected on the wall behind me, and is number 1031 in the teal hymnal. May I be filled with loving kindness. Please rise as you are able. Join in a unison reading of our congregation's mission and vision statements projected on the front wall and also found on the back of your order of service. Our vision is peace, compassion, and justice for ourselves and our neighbors and our world. The First Unitarian Church of Alta is a welcoming and inclusive faith community committed to lifelong spiritual growth and inspiring lives of love and service. Please be seated. We have been greatly blessed. Let us now give generously so that others might be blessed by the work of the church. The morning's offering will now be given and received. Receive with gratitude all generous gifts of time, talent, and treasure. And together we bless them and those who gave in faith, hope, and love. Amen.
Thank you. Will all the children come forward, please? Thank you. For the reading today, I have only one reading, and it is a simple reading. It is going to be our principles and purposes. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Justice, equality, and compassion in human relations. Acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. A free and responsible search for truth and meaning. The right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. The goal of a world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. For our hymn today, I'm going to play a song by Rhonda Sparks, if technology works with me. So please listen carefully to this.
Cleansing waters flow.
please take a few moments and think about the song you've just heard. I don't like to cry in public, but when I heard Rhonda Sparks sing Living River, I found tears rolling down my face, and I tried to unobtrusively wipe them away, but as she went on, the tears kept coming. Living river rolling onward, carrying my soul on out to the sea. Living river rolling onward, let the mighty ocean wash over me on the banks of the river where the waters ease my mind. The reason that this song was so meaningful to me and remains so meaningful to me is that the concept of river began when my mind was not at ease. Outwardly, my life looked really good. I had a good marriage, I had a nice house, I had a decent job, I was in graduate school, and after graduate school, I was going to get an even better job. But my mind was not at ease. I was unhappy. I didn't have any answers, and I, at that time, couldn't even formulate the questions. About that same time, I enrolled in a course called Ecological Psychology with Tom Lombardo. And in that course, Tom explained that psychology should only be studied from the point of view of the human being as part of a larger ecology. And that as we understood humans, our perspective at that time in psychology was very limited because we looked at the human being as if there weren't an ecology that that person lived in. So Tom began changing my thinking. And the course went on, he began talking about our responsibility to promote life. And we just started discussing what life means. And finally, one day I said to him, what does ecological psychology have to say about life? What is life? And Tom thought a moment, and he said, I don't know what ecological psychology has to say about life, but I know what I think life is. And he went on to say that he thought life was like a river, and the river flows, and up comes a wave, and that wave is Tom Lombardo, and another wave comes up, that wave is Dee Evans, and another wave comes up, and that wave is Tree. And as time goes on, we all go back into the river. That concept, that idea was very comforting to me at the time. I didn't have to ask, is there a God? Is there not a God? And if there is a God, what is that God? How do you define that God? I didn't have to ask any of that. All I had to do is think about we are all of us together, are part of a river, and we rise up from it, and we go back in into the river. And I kept comfort in that concept, even when I was continuing to look for answers. And I looked for them in Buddhism. And Buddhists use the same concept of life as a river. However, they carried it a step further. They made very clear that when that wave comes out of the river, It's no different than the river. There is no separation between the wave and the river, and there is nothing else but the river. When the wave goes back into the river, it is still the river. And I began to understand that we're all one. But my understanding of this was conceptual. It was intellectual. I didn't really understand in my heart what that meant till I came to this church. When I walked into this church, I noticed that people kind of sat in little groups. And I learned later that's because we had a group of people who were atheists, and we had a group of people who were humanists, and we had a group of people who were pagans, and we had a group of people who were theists. There were many, many viewpoints in this church. So here we are, all in the same river, but many viewpoints. And I noticed something. I noticed that there was a search for truth and meaning, just like the Unitarian principle says. And people were allowed to take different paths in this search for meaning without anybody criticizing each other. In fact, there was a respect for and an acceptance for the different viewpoints. And that acceptance began to change me. It began to move from my head to my heart, what it meant to all be part of this living river. Now, I've learned something recently, and I want to share that with you. You see, after having seen all these viewpoints, I said, oh, if you're a Unitarian, you can believe anything. And I went, four of us from this church recently, last month in fact, went to a seminar put on by the Unitarian Midwest region. And Ms. Presley stood up and said, do not say, as a Unitarian, you can believe anything. Because you can. If you say something, for example, because of the color of my skin, I am better than other people. You're not a Unitarian, because that violates our first principle of the inherent worth and dignity of everyone. During the break, I heard Kleber say that we can believe anything as long as it doesn't hurt others. So that's a good way to put that we have to adhere to our principles and purposes. So as a Unitarian, I found it a challenge. It isn't easy. Maybe for you, it's easy to be a Unitarian. For me, being a Unitarian is hard. And I'm giving you two brief examples. I'm driving down the road, and suddenly somebody cuts in front of me, cuts me off. I have to slam on my brakes so I don't hit him or hit something else. At that moment, I don't want to recognize the inherent worth and dignity of the person who cut me off. In fact, I want to give them that negative universal gesture we all understand. To bring how that's one way being a Unitarian is hard for me, but let me bring it a little bit closer to home. According to our principles, our congregations use a democratic process. That means that things that I don't want to happen are voted in. And things that I do want to happen are voted out. And there have been times when I wanted to pick up my marbles and go. You want to do that? Fine. But then I had to ask myself, where would I go? And I can hear some of you say, oh, Dee, if you're a Unitarian, there's wonderful churches across the river. You could go to them. And you're right. I could. They're great churches. Except church research shows that the average person won't drive more than 20 minutes. And sometimes stretch it to 40 one way to church. Well, I'm here to admit to you, I'm pretty average in that way. When I moved here, I moved from a big city, and I had spent years and years and years driving to church, driving to work, driving to social activities, that when we moved here 14 years ago, a decision we made was, I'm not driving a long way any place. So right now, in this church, I am who I am. I'm somebody, even though I say I am a Unitarian, my limit is 20 minutes. Now, you see, that's important that I stand up here and say that to you. Because it's a something about me. It just shows you one of my limitations. But the fact that I can stand up here and say that in front of everybody says that I don't have to walk into this church and present any kind of a false face. I don't have to pretend to be somebody other than I am or better than I am. No one has to walk in this church and be anything other than what they are. I am, and you are, accepted the way you are. It is that acceptance that kept moving this whole concept of River of Life from my head to my heart. It helped me understand how much we are all one. Now, there's an odd thing, a very odd thing about this acceptance. While I don't have to pretend to be better than I am or be anything other than I am, the acceptance has also pushed me to do better, to be better. Now, I can give you many, many ways in which this church has helped me to be better, a better person, but I'm gonna give you a little one, because sometimes I think little examples are better than big, dramatic changes. I'm a child of the 60s. That means from a very young age, I was involved in marches, civil rights marches, marches for women's rights. Excuse me. I was involved in social justice. Then I took a job that involved social justice. I had to make sure that my clients' rights were met. They were all poor, so sometimes we had to fight for places for them to live, make sure they got their medication in a world that didn't want to provide that for them. I spent years, sometimes within the institution, fighting for their rights. By the time I came to this church, I was totally burnt out on social justice. I didn't want to hear about it. I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to think about it. But our principles talk about justice for all, but I just couldn't. Now, we began the fourth Saturday lunch, which feeds the poor once a month. And I tried to become involved, but for many reasons, one of which was just burnout with social justice, I just couldn't. And did I feel guilty about that? Oh, yeah, I did. But then somebody said, you know what? The poor need personal care products. We need to start giving them out when we do our fourth Saturday lunches. And I was like, oh, I can do that. I can, burnout as I am, I can bring some deodorant, I can bring some toilet paper. It may be a little thing, but that was my way of helping. And this church helped me by accepting me the way I am to be better, to remember that the river of life includes everybody. And when my husband, who's very generous, more generous than I am, would write these checks to all the charities, I started getting very jaded, and I'd get on Charity Navigator, and I'd go, no, you don't want to give to this organization. You know, oh, they don't need that. And finally, one day, he said, I just want to do it. I'm just going to do it. And I sat back, and I thought, Dee, just write the check. Just do it. And you know why I did that? Because for some reason, and I don't know why, this little page was sitting on my table with the principles on it. So yeah, by accepting me, you helped me to understand how the river of life flows and that we're all one of it. And what's important is that we are a current. We're one current. The Mississippi River is a good example of the river of life, because the Mississippi has all these currents going in. It's not a placid river. It's got all these currents, and the currents collide into each other, and they sometimes push on each other, and things jump from one current to another. And that's how life is. And in this church right now, we're going through a big change. We're a particular current of the river of life, Alton UU. We're a current in this big river, and we're all part of this current. And right now, this current is facing some challenges. One of it is a financial challenge, as you heard our president say. The other is that our minister has chosen to go to a different current. Now, we are all here together, this very accepting congregation. This congregation that allows all these different viewpoints, and we're going to be going through a lot of change. So I know because of who we are that we're going to do two things. One of them is, people leave currents in the river of life because they need to. And Kleber has chosen to go to another current. He's going off to Florida. So we, in our way of accepting each other, need to accept and support him in this. But we also need to support each other. We need to support our board and the members who are looking for an interim minister. We need to accept the change that's going on and support each other in this change. It's going to be hard in some ways, and it's also going to be fun. But if we can remember that acceptance leads to and promotes us to be better, then we will make it down this current, even though we might be in a river that's like the Mississippi, very hard, with currents bumping against each other. Because we are the First Unitarian Church of Alton, and because we are a current that is here to stay. We are a river that's going to keep rolling onward. Have a good day, and let's join together and sing number 188 out of the Gray Hymnal. Living river rolling onward, carrying my soul out onto the sea. Living river rolling onward, let the mighty ocean wash over me. On the banks of the river where the waters ease my mind. May the waters ease your mind, and may you have a good week. Thank you.